So again, a happy Father's Day to all you dads who are here with us this morning. We appreciate you. I know dads sometimes get a little bit more of the unsung hero part, but you know, I don't think there was any question Father's Day was coming up. It's not one of the, I don't know how it is that for guys, Mother's Day sneaks up on us. For dads, there's no chance Father's Day sneaks up, because I was in Home Depot yesterday, and man, it was everywhere. Hey, you know what Dad would really love? Dad would love this new impact wrench. Dad would love an electric mower. Dad would love this grill. You know, make sure you think of what to buy your dad for Father's Day. So that, now I know there's some of you guys here that have some real skills. We've got some people in the church family here who could probably use every single tool Home Depot sells and actually use it correctly, which would be really cool. You guys, just last week we were doing the church work day here. A couple of you guys just put a brand new door and door frame into the lounge of the little house for us. That was marvelous. And I know there's some of the guys around here who have built bigger things than that. I mean, some of you have built houses and buildings and all manner of different things. Others of us haven't ever attempted anything quite so grand. You know, some of us don't make it much beyond building sandcastles, I suppose. There may even be some of you here who don't claim to know a hammer from a hand grenade, but you could probably do about the same damage with either one of them. So here's the thing, though. Regardless of what you are building, whether you're building a toy box or a tower, regardless of what you are building, there are certain elements that are common to construction. First, you need to understand the plan, right? There's a blueprint or a plan or whatever. You need to understand the plan. At the very least, you need to have a plan, okay? You need to know what you're doing. And then beyond that, you need some good materials, and you need to be careful as you build. Careful to follow the plans, careful to put it together correctly. You guys have probably heard the carpentry adage, measure twice, cut once, right? So you'll make sure you've got the measurements right before you start cutting through stuff. Now here's something we all need to realize this morning. Regardless of your skill with a drill, we are all builders of God's church. We're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians this morning. And in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15, the Apostle Paul informs us that we are, as Christians, we are all in the Christian construction business, every one of us. We all then need to be mindful of the work we do in the name of Christ. So in that passage we're going to look at together this morning, Paul encourages us as builders. First of all, he encourages us to be careful how we build, to be sure we build carefully. That would be the first thing we're going to see. Be sure to build carefully. And then what he does is he gives us three things to help us do that. Be sure to build carefully. Here's how. First, he'll say we need to build on the proper foundation. What you build won't stand if it's not built on a good, solid, proper foundation. Be sure to build on a proper foundation. Secondly, he speaks of using quality materials. You got a good foundation, use equally good materials. Use quality materials. And then fourth, he cautions us to remember the coming inspection. Our work will be inspected. So remember that. Remember the coming inspection. And if we are mindful of that, if we remember the coming inspection, then hopefully it brings us full circle back to, all right then, let's build carefully. So be sure to build carefully. Build on the proper foundation. Use quality materials. And remember the coming inspection. Go ahead and open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. It's page 1027 in the Bibles there in the rack in front of you if you're using one of those. 1027, 1 Corinthians 3:10. And Paul here, speaking like an architect and a contractor all rolled into one, Paul cautions Christians, first of all here, to be sure to build carefully. In this very first verse of this paragraph here, Paul likens himself to an expert builder, one who is skilled in what he does. Take a look at verse 10. Paul says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. Now, the Greek word that Paul uses here for that kind of wise master builder, it's actually the Greek word that we get our English word architect from. So he's speaking as an architect, and yet though in Paul's day it didn't really mean, for us an architect is the one who draws up the plans, the blueprints, right? For Paul and people in his day, the word really meant the person who supervised the work of the building. Maybe like the job foreman or something, the one who was making sure that everything was done according to plan, was being done the way it was supposed to be done. So right from the start here, as Paul introduces this new metaphor of kind of looking at building Christ's church, right from the start, he places the focus squarely on God. And Paul claims that as a master builder himself, the fact that he's able to do that is entirely due to God's grace. God is the one that has given him the gifts that made him so hardworking, that allowed him to be faithful, that ultimately allowed him to have success as he sought to share the gospel with other people. Everything that he has been able to accomplish, Paul would say, is a result of God's grace in his life. And it was in his role as a master builder that Paul tells us he laid a foundation in the city of Corinth there. Paul was the one to begin the work in Corinth. Paul was the one to establish the Corinthian church. During his second missionary journey, he established a group of Christians, formed a church, and left them there as he continued on sharing the gospel with other cities, other areas. What Paul means when he says, I laid a foundation, here in verse 10, when he laid this foundation in Corinth, what he's talking about is the message of the gospel. He's talking about the message about Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the one who would lay down his life for the sins of the world and offer to each person who would put their faith in him the opportunity to receive that forgiveness and be saved from the consequences of their sins. But it's what comes next that's the focus of Paul's words. He, as the wise architect, as the expert builder, he warns believers that we must be careful how we build on that foundation. Again, Paul began the work in Corinth, but he mentions here in verse 10 that there are those who have come after him that are now building on that foundation, building on the work that he had started. He had laid the groundwork, and now every other missionary who came through was building on to that, adding on to that foundation of faith in Christ that Paul had established during his missionary journey. And so he cautions any and all who do that to be careful in carrying out that responsibility of building on the foundation of Christ. So let me pause us right here for a moment then, because I think we can read something like that and immediately we say, well, wait a second. We're not building the church in Corinth. I'm not helping establish that church or any other for that matter. So do Paul's words even apply to us? Yes, Paul's words absolutely apply to us here. Clearly, Paul was speaking specifically about the work started in Corinth, but he is speaking more generally about the building of God's church with a capital C, not just a local manifestation of that in the city of Corinth. But this applies to the building of God's church everywhere, every church. We say, all right, that's fair. But doesn't that mean then that Paul's talking to Christian leaders? You know, the professionals, the ones who are really responsible for building the church. And again, I could say, absolutely. Paul is clearly talking about missionaries and other pastors that were going to be coming in and continuing to build on that work that he had laid the foundation for in Corinth. But here's the pivot. All Christians are to help build God's church in one way or another. Every single one of us. Every one of us either contributes to the growth of the church, or if we're not contributing to the growth of the church, we are contributing to the stagnation of the church, one way or another. This happens kind of across the board. It starts in the family, it happens in the church, it happens in the community as we as Christians live our lives. Parents teach their children, right? We build them up, we are, hopefully we instruct them in the faith. We lead by example in the lives of our children. That is to say, you know what? Kids notice if you pray. And they probably notice if you don't. They see how we handle the stressors that come up in our lives. Do we lash out at other people, or do we cling to the hope of Christ and exhibit something of his peace that surpasses understanding? In the same way, each of us participates in building up God's church too. Again, local churches and God's global church. Certainly we meet together for the study of God's word, right? We come together every Sunday when we have growth groups. We have all of these opportunities where we come together to study the word, to pray together. But even if you don't like speaking up in public, maybe you're one of those folks that says, you know what, I'm content to let everybody else in the growth group answer those questions because I just don't like talking in front of people, right? I just don't feel comfortable praying out loud in front of other people. You know, you still can and should be privately praying for other people. You should be, of course, spending time on your own studying God's word so that you know how to live a life that honors him. So whether it's an outward example or just the example of a life that's being lived inwardly and even privately for the Lord, it still contributes to the building up of God's church. You build the church in the example that you set for other believers. And then, of course, we're to build up God's church by using the gifts that he's given each and every one of us. God, by his Spirit, gives us certain talents and abilities, gifts that he intends for us to use in service to the body of Christ, ways that we can build one another up. And that's, I gotta say, that is one of the things that I love so much about serving in our church or a church like ours here. So many of you I see regularly, faithfully serving God according to the gifts he's given you. And there's some who teach, there's some who clean, there's some who make repairs, there's some who make music. But I see you guys using the gifts that God has given you to help build God's church. So you see, that's the thing. We are all charged with building God's church. And Paul says, because we are all charged with that, because we all contribute to the building, the growth of God's church, we need to be careful how we do that. We need to be thoughtful about how we are contributing to the growth of other believers and God's church as a whole. So what follows in our passage here is Paul's advice on how. Build carefully. Okay, Paul. How? He gives us the blueprints here for living a God-honoring life. In order to build carefully, we need to build on the proper foundation, first and foremost. The foundation Paul laid in Corinth, that is the exact same foundation that the rest of God's church is to be built on. It is the same foundation that our individual lives are to be built on. And Paul identifies that foundation in verse 11 here. He says, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation for God's church. A building starts with a foundation. Randomly came up in conversation at the deacon meeting this last week. We were talking about something. It reminded me of a skit that I was in years ago. A bunch of us high schoolers were in a church skit, and we're all standing around and kind of looking and muttering amongst ourselves. And finally, one of them goes over and asks the pastor and says, "Hey, when you're building a house, do you start at the top and work down, or from the bottom and build up?" He says, "No, you start from the bottom and build up." Okay. Hey, you guys can come on down. We're doing it wrong. You know, it's one of those. It starts with the foundation. You don't construct the house and then build a foundation underneath it. You don't start with a second story and build the first story underneath it. It starts with the foundation. Always. Every single time. That's what determines the shape, the size of the building. It determines how it will be built. And ultimately, a building is only going to be as solid as the foundation that it sits on. Jesus used this same imagery, actually, in Matthew chapter 7. In fact, keep a finger here and turn with me back to the Gospel of Matthew. It's page 869 in the Pew Bibles there. Matthew is the first book of our New Testament, so just back a handful of pages. Matthew chapter 7, And verses 24 through 27, I invite you to look at that with me here just briefly. So Jesus here, Matthew 7, 24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell. And great was its fall." You notice that the story never indicates that one house was better than the other, or built out of better materials than the other, or more expensive than the other. The difference was that one had a solid foundation and the other didn't. That was the only difference. The foundation of the church, the foundation of every Christian's life, is Christ. There can be no other foundation. And back in our passage in 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul tells us that there is no other foundation that can be laid. The foundation cannot be changed. The church and the Christian are founded. Our lives and the life of the church can be built on nothing else. It must be built on Christ. That's the foundation that Paul laid in Corinth. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified, as he did everywhere he went. What Paul points out is that there's a great deal of similarity between the foundation of a building and the foundation of the church. In both cases, the foundation must be solid, because the building will stand or fall based on how good the foundation is. Some years ago, I heard a guy talking about a problem that he had been having in his house. He had, sometime after moving into the house, began to notice a crack in the ceiling. I think it was in the living room. And it was barely perceptible at first, and you know, then it grew, and it got bigger, and it got more noticeable. And so he set about to fix the problem, brought out the right tools, maybe took a trip to Home Depot, I don't know. But you know, a little bit of sanding and mud and tape and paint, good as new, never would have known it was there, perfect. In far too short a time, the crack came back. And again, it got bigger. And again, he worked to fix the damage. And he said that he did as good or better a job than he did the first time. You know, try and use even better materials. And same thing, get it all fixed up. But the crack came back again. And finally, he went to a friend who was in construction, built houses, a master builder. And talked to him about, hey, what do I do about this crack in my ceiling? This is what I've done. I've done it twice. The crack has come back a third time. And the man came over and took one look at the crack and explained, well, the problem's not the ceiling. The problem's the foundation. Your foundation is uneven. And the wall will continue, that ceiling will continue to crack no matter what else is done. Until you fix that foundation and are on a solid foundation, that crack is going to keep coming back. Without a proper foundation, the building won't be good. The church has one foundation: Jesus Christ, our Lord. The individual Christian life, we have one foundation for our individual Christian life. Again, Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation that will do. Christ is the only proper foundation for our lives and for God's church. So if we're going to be careful builders, as we're called to be, we need to build on the proper foundation. There remain, however, two different ways of building on a good foundation. A good foundation is absolutely essential, but the next thing that Paul tells us is that if we're to be careful builders, we must use quality materials. A proper foundation is where we start, absolutely essential, because even quality materials aren't going to stand without a good foundation. But we need to build with quality materials then. Now, I've never built a house, and I know there's probably not many of you who have. Maybe you've worked on an addition in your home or something like that. But imagine for a moment that you're building a house and you spend, I don't know, maybe the foundation costs $35,000 to put in a good proper foundation. So you spend $35,000 on a proper foundation for your new home. It's in, it's perfect, it's a solid foundation. And after having that strong, proper foundation laid, you then build your house out of cardboard, loose stick, string, and chewing gum. You know, we'd say you need to have your head examined. Why would you spend $35,000 on a good foundation and build it out of shoddy materials that aren't going to stand for a week? You have a proper foundation, you need to use quality materials to have a good home. And that, again, is exactly what Paul has to say about how to build carefully. Pick up with me in verse 12 and read into the middle of verse 13, 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. The quality of our foundation is indisputable. If we are building the church and our Christian lives on the foundation of Christ, we've got a solid, proper foundation, no question. But there's still two ways to build. You can use quality materials or you can use inferior materials. You can use things that are valuable or you can use things that are worthless. Here again, using quality materials is absolutely necessary if we are going to be the careful builders that God calls us to be. I remember a story I came across years ago about a young man who worked for his father. His father was a contractor, built houses in the community. He worked for dad, worked alongside dad for years, and was unhappy with his wages. I don't know, maybe it was that, you know, as the son, he didn't feel he was being paid as well as some of the other guys, or just felt that dad was underpaying him, whatever it was. One day, after having worked with his dad for years, dad came along and said, "Son, here's some blueprints. I'm going to ask you to build this house. I'm putting you in charge of this job. I'm not going to oversee it. It's all you. You build the house. Do the best job that you can possibly do. It's for a special friend of mine." Well, the son thought to himself, "This is my chance. I can cut corners, use some cheaper materials here and there on the build, and then cover it up with plaster and paint. Dad will never know, and I can just pocket the difference. Make back a little of the money that I feel I'm owed." So that's what he did. And finally, the house was complete, and it looked really good on the surface. It looked just fine. The young man had been married a short time earlier, and a few days later, the father brought the couple to the home his son had built and said to him, "Son, I know your wages have not been large, but I had it all in mind all along to give you this house." And he handed over the deed and said, "This is yours." And you can imagine that the son was ashamed. A workman who recognizes the quality of the foundation is going to use quality materials to build on that foundation. A workman, on the other hand, who does not value the foundation will not care about the quality or the longevity of the building, and so will build with worthless materials, cut corners wherever they can. So we can either try and make a building as worthy of the foundation as possible, or in laziness and sloppiness, we can be content to build with whatever, that which costs us little or nothing. So let's bring this back into the context of what Paul is using this metaphor to talk about. What materials are we using for building God's church, for building into each other's lives as Christians? Paul gave us those two categories of materials that we can use. The quality ones, gold, silver, precious stones, and the inferior ones, wood, hay, and straw. What Paul's referring to here are our deeds, our actions, what we actually do to build God's church and build the lives of other believers, and again, even build our own lives of faith. So how do we tell what kind of materials we are using in our spiritual construction here? Let me start with the inferior materials, the wood, hay, and straw. I think chief among these would be worldly wisdom. That's a big chunk of what Paul is writing to try and combat in the church in Corinth is, hey, you need to not do things the way the rest of the world is doing. Worldly wisdom is not all it's cracked up to be. You know, the world has plenty of ideas on how things should run. And we see with astonishing regularity how frequently those run contrary to what God tells us in His Word. We're bombarded with every manner of anti-Christian philosophy. Pop psychology, of course, the suggestion that, even in the church, the suggestion that the worldly material techniques that build big businesses, well, those should build big churches too. If that's the way it works to build a big business, then let's just adopt that and make the church a big church the same way. Those things are all wood, hay, and straw. They're things that they're just not going to last in building God's church. Instead, Paul encourages us to use quality materials, materials that match the quality of the foundation, Jesus Christ. We need to approach our lives and the building of the church. We need to approach it the same way Christ did. We need to approach it the same way the Apostle Paul did. Paul is a wonderful example to us here of how to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Not in a physical, literal sense, but in the sense of trying to use the most quality materials we can to build on that spiritual foundation of Christ. It starts with preaching the gospel. That's what Paul came to Corinth with. He came in there preaching the gospel. We always need to be mindful of seeking to direct others towards Christ. We need to share the truth of salvation that is freely offered to each and every one of us, all of us who are sinners by nature, that we have been offered forgiveness if we will humble ourselves, acknowledge our sin before God, and believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That is the gospel. Quality materials show up as we build up one another in faith, as you pray for each other, as you pray with each other, as we disciple and love one another, as we encourage each other in the areas of giftedness that God has given each of us uniquely, as we affirm and we support one another in our Christian growth, as we stand by each other and try and help each other in battling the struggles against temptation and sin that each one of us has, as we help one another to be accountable to God. That's building with quality materials. Quality is seen in living a Christian life that practices what we preach. It's a whole lot easier to just say all of the things that God tells us we should do and to just kind of intellectually and verbally agree with those things. It's a lot easier to do that than it is to live those things out, especially in private. But to try and be people of our word that are consistently relying on God's strength to live the way He calls us to live, live a life following the example of Christ, striving for purity and maturity in our Christian walk. Quality materials. The quality materials we build with depend on God's word. So that means we need our teaching, all of our teaching needs to be based in Scripture. This is where we come back to. This is what God said to us. You know, we don't gather here on Sunday to just talk through whatever was in the news this last week. Whatever events came up. We gather, we look to God, we look to His Word for instruction on how to live, no matter what happened this past week. And you know, friends, what we find is that so much of what God has to say in His Word helps us understand how to respond to these events that take place each and every week in our lives, in our nation, in our world. We need to be careful how we build. We need to make sure that we are using the proper foundation, Jesus Christ Himself, and we need to be careful to build with quality materials. There's one other thing Paul cautions us about, and that is to remember the coming inspection. Remember the coming inspection. Our work, the things that we do, especially as Christians looking to build the church and build our faith in one another's faith, our work is going to be evaluated. Someone is going to test its quality and check it. Let me read the entire passage for us so that we get the flow of what Paul is trying to tell us here. So back up to 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Just to make sure we're all on the same page here. Step out. There's a lot of each man. You understand that when the writers, when Paul was writing like that, he wasn't strictly speaking about the male gender. He's speaking about all of us, more like mankind, humanity, that kind of thing. So I just want to make sure this isn't just to fathers, this isn't just to men, this is to all of us here, building God's church. So Paul spells all this out for us here in this paragraph, and the day that he refers to there in verse 13, it's not simply seeing things evaluated in the light of day. It's not like, well, you built it in the middle of the night, and when tomorrow morning comes, we'll be able to see in the daylight what it actually was. What he's pointing to is the final day of judgment, the day of the Lord, the return of the Savior, the second coming of Christ. That'll be a time when the work God's people have done will be judged, and the quality of our work will be shown for what it is. Paul's not teaching salvation by works here at all, as though we're going to be saved based on what we did. And that is absolutely certain, because the people that Paul is talking to here, they are all building on the same foundation. They are building on a foundation of Christ. So he's talking to believers. All who believe in Christ will be saved. What Paul is referring to here is Christ's assessment of the way each of us Christians have lived our lives after expressing and professing our faith in Christ, after having been forgiven for our sins, after having received God's gift of salvation. How have we chosen to live then as Christians? How have we reflected our relationship with Christ? Now, there's no doubt every Christian's life is going to have a mixture of materials. There are times when we have built with good materials and times when we haven't. And regrettably, each one of us will have to endure some measure of sadness at seeing a portion of our work burned up when it is tested by fire, as we realize how many parts of our lives or how much of our lives were spent in activity that had no eternal value or significance. Paul says that quality work will show itself by being up to code, particularly being up to fire code. You know, we have fire inspectors come through here on maybe a annual or semi-annual basis or something. They come through just to make sure that the church is up to code, that our exit signs are all lit up, that the emergency lights work, that the panic bars on the doors, everything is working and up to code. In the same way, the work, our work that we do as believers, the building that we do on the foundation of Christ, building up God's church, one day that will be evaluated. It will be inspected and tried by fire. The good stuff, the good materials, the things that we have done for Christ and for the building of his church, the good silver and precious stones, that will withstand the testing. The worthless stuff is just going to be burned up. The wood, hay, and straw will be completely consumed, showing that it was of no value in the first place. Now, although Paul isn't overly specific about what he means, he says that the one whose work withstands the fire will be rewarded, while the one whose work is burnt up will suffer loss, but will still be saved. And again, because the foundation is Christ, if we are building our lives, and certainly his church, on the foundation of Christ, having Christ as our Savior means we will be saved. Build on that foundation. But there won't necessarily be the joy of having built well if we're not mindful of being careful builders. Yeah, I've talked to some people who say things like, you know what, I'll just be happy if I make it to heaven. That's all I want. I mean, I'll be happy if I just make it to heaven, as though nothing else matters. And I would say Paul's opinion here differs. Suppose that you met someone tomorrow who was celebrating. They were just jubilant and excited, and you said, wow, you're pretty excited. You know what? What are you celebrating? What are you so happy about, the occasion? And they tell you, well, my house burned down, and I lost everything I owned. All my money was in the house. Matter of fact, all my family died in the fire as well. But I got out. That's good. I don't know that that's worthy of celebration, to see so much lost. We need to be careful how we build God's church and God's people. We need to build on the proper foundation. We need to use quality materials, and we need to remember that there is a coming inspection. If we were to summarize here what Paul is trying to tell us, it's to build God's church by doing your best to honor God with your deeds. Build God's church by doing your best to honor God with your deeds. What we do with our lives, that matters to God. He created us to be more than what we can simply be by ourselves. He created us to be more in a relationship with him. He has given us worth. He has given us purpose. He loves us. He wants a very personal and eternal relationship with each and every person. And so Paul, for his part here, he encourages us to be careful builders. We need to build on the proper foundation. There is only one proper foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. We need to use quality materials. We need to use everything that we say, think, and do to point other people toward Christ. We need to be about doing actions that show their value, those deeds of good silver and precious stones, things which build one another up in the church, encourage one another in our faith, build God's church, and outside of the church, things that point people towards that foundation, Jesus Christ. And we need to remember the coming inspection. Our work will be evaluated. It will be tried by God's fire at the end of time, on the day of the Lord. So strive to build in such a way and with such materials that your work may endure and that you may enjoy God's pleasure and his reward. Build God's church by doing your best to honor God with your deeds. Be a careful builder. Let's pray. God, you have given us a blueprint here. You have laid it out for us, how we are to live, how we are to encourage and help one another live. At even the most basic, God, you have told us how we can be saved and have a right and eternal relationship with you through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. So God, as we seek to live in light of your grace and mercy, that offer of forgiveness and salvation, as we seek to live in light of a relationship with you through faith in your Son, help us to be mindful about the things we say, think, and do. Help us to focus on trying to do, say, and think things that build up your church and others in your church. God, help us to make sure that we keep Christ at the very center as the foundation that we build all of these things on. Let us build carefully with proper materials and God, may it all be to your glory. Thank you, Father, for loving us, for welcoming us into your presence through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we praise you. Amen.